Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. Now, this is an interactive call-in show, and we do want to hear from our listeners, as always. And I want to say hello and welcome, of course, to the Dementia Whisperers, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Scott. Hey, it's so good to hear your voice. And even though sometimes we get our feathers a little ruffled, sounds like things are going fine now. So we're gonna enjoy each other's company for this hour. And we want to really invite our listeners to hang in there. We've got some great information today to help them make it through the holidays. So thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am always honored to be with you. So if you don't mind, could you take a minute to just talk about a little bit about you and your background, because you are such a wonderful professional, and I am always very, very happy to be sitting with you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Laura. That's definitely a Christmas gift, because right now it's like my hair's on fire. But, you know, they say don't make them, let them see you sweat. So luckily it's not television. I'm having some very big computer problems. But really right now I'm working with my wife, Faye, who is an ADA class, a Title IV specialist in helping seniors hear and communicate more clearly, and they can be in any stage of life and all the way down to kids, really. But that all comes out of understanding the technology and my work in media for so many years. And it's very rewarding, because I remember starting off back in the 70s, in community radio, and talking to what I considered then the elders, right? Your mentors, people that you admired that were a couple of decades older than you, teaching you, giving you insight, helping you learn and grow along the path of life. So it's very interesting now to, I guess, be that elder.
Yeah, we're getting there, aren't we?
Yes, and to have younger people then talking and communicating and wanting to know more really about how the world works, how media works, and so on. And so along with that, I do broadcast coaching for individuals, and that comes as a result, again, of my radio work. So anything we do in life, so many times we wonder how that will contribute to us, or what is our purpose in being there. But I find so often, for me anyway, later on in life, I see how that piece fits into the puzzle, and I would never know going to a networking meeting back in the 80s with a man named Sandy Vilas, who was later to become the CEO of Coach University, that he would become a mentor and a continuous guest of mine on Sirius Satellite Radio, reaching out nationally to teach and train people on coaching and how to have to coach themselves up in life and to support others in authentic coaching, and then myself becoming a graduate of Coach University, and then sharing that airtime with him and other coaches, helping support others, and now using my skills and assets in that regard to support and coach people in broadcast coaching, sort of a specialty niche I work in. So it's interesting. At the time, I had no clue, just trying to network with people for the business I was in at the time, that later would become a platform for being that same mentor and guide that I saw back in the 70s. So I just thought I'd share that. It sort of just came to me as we sat here together. And of course, working with Laura Wayman, I learned so much about the world of dementia and working and supporting our seniors as we all progress on our pathways of life, and all the wonderful insights, skills, and valuable lessons I've learned around Laura Wayman over the last few years serve me every day working with seniors now, helping them to hear, see, and communicate better with themselves and their loved ones. And it's so rewarding to have them call back a week or two later, as they often do, and just say, this technology, sort of mini broadcasting, has changed our life, or it's made my life so great, or I can hear my granddaughter, and so on. So I call that narrowcasting, but sometimes that's the one-on-one high touch that we know all about, isn't it, Laura?
It certainly is, and we are both so honored to learn from each other and to have been brought together so that we could bring this information in this very special way, this type of media, and reach out to these caregivers. And we've got a really special show today. I'm going to be sharing a very dear person and her journey here in just a few minutes. And so we'll be bringing her on, and we'll be talking about up front here, we're going to talk about some news and views from the world of dementia on the topic of making it through the holidays, because that can be really tricky, Scott. There's so many changes that happen when you become a caregiver, and especially a caregiver for someone with dementia. It can be a long journey. It can be anywhere from 2 to 20 years that person needs care. And all the changes year to year, just with the traditions of making it through the holidays and all the different types of information that comes to them, and how we need to buffer and change and refresh and revisit and think for them, basically. So, you know, our dear listening audience, we want you to know you're not alone. If you have any worries or concerns or anxieties, or if you need advice, inspiration, encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've certainly tuned into the right place today with Live with the Dementia Whisperer. So we invite you to stay with us. This hour we'll be taking your calls, talking about the newest information from the world of dementia, how to maybe manage some of these symptoms, and spending time learning about dementia from a different perspective. And our segment right up front is our news and views from the world of dementia that Scott brings us. And so, as we do with every show, you are invited to call in and talk with us about your dementia care journey, ask questions. We want to hear your voice and your feelings. And we're going to be discussing this topic of holiday, but if you have other things that you would like to share, we are open to what your needs are, and so be sure and call us. The number is 1-929-477-1393. And Scott, would you like to talk a little bit about some strategies for having an enjoyable holiday with those who have dementia?
I certainly would. I also have some news on dementia I'd love to share.
Perfect.
And so we'll touch on that, but let's go to some strategies, because people do need to realize that it's like so many things in life. There are strategies. You know, what happens, Lori, as you so well know, like so many things in life, is we get overwhelmed, and we forget that we're not just being impacted by the things in our lives, like, let's say, our loved one starting to move down that road of dementia, maybe at a pace we never expected or anticipated, or you know, who's ever ready for someone close to them to start developing dementia? Raise your hand. I didn't see any hands go up. Thank you, class.
No, me either.
And so when you say having a strategy, that makes me think about that it's like taking the power back, isn't it? To strategize is to take the time, is to consider. It's to slow down the heartbeat, the worry rate, the blood pressure, to slow down and be present. And to have a strategy is to have a plan. And yes, you can plan to have a good time to increase the joy and the benefits of an enjoyable holiday with those with dementia. And this actually comes from a blog our dear Laura Wayman wrote back in December 2012. And it's on a lot of activities and gifts to ensure that your loved one or a resident in a facility, perhaps you're a caregiver and we do want to hear from you, to help make that a delightful holiday season. Now, well over, 5.2 million people in the U.S. now have Alzheimer's disease or a related dementia. And we all benefit from sharing Christmas with someone we care about, of course. Smells, the sounds, the sights bring back happy, happy memories. And sometimes memories are the strongest thing we can give to someone with dementia, because oftentimes, Laura, as you've trained me, as I said, mentored, that living in memories sometimes is the place that people with a deepening dementia are most of the time. People with dementia should have that opportunity too. Yeah. Following these tips will ensure you and your loved one with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia a pleasurable holiday season. And the gift of yourself is the one with the best gifts you can give. So spend some time together, of course. Decorate for the holidays. Have most of the decorating complete before you involve the dementia person in it. Then they can help you with the finishing touches. And I'm sure, Laura, in your experience anyway, they feel like they help to do the whole thing, right?
Sure, and you want to simplify,
like we did it together,
so that you're thinking for them. Always simplify for them.
Very good. Buy unbreakable ornaments. Hey, I need that. I was throwing a doggy toy to one of our Shih-Tzus the other night when my left curveball came into play.
Oh, no.
Those ornaments hit the ground and bounced around. I thought, oh, man, I'm glad those weren't glass. So I think I've got my problems already.
Yes.
But they are much safer, they are. However, if your dementia friend likes to put inedible objects in their mouth, don't use any ornaments in that case. Do not use candy canes or any edible decorations on the tree. Don't use ones that even look edible, and a lot of them look pretty tasty, but really they're just plastic, and that is not good for anyone. And they can't necessarily differentiate or really want to. They see something beautiful or looks tasty, and so they assume that that's something that they can eat. Sing your favorite Christmas carols or holiday favorites. Most families have favorite songs they sing, even if a person with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia is nonverbal. He or she may be able to sing most of the words to a favorite song. Singing's a great activity. It certainly does lift the spirit. And I know when I get out my guitar, and as much of a hack guitar player I am, still playing that guitar takes me right out of my body in a way, no matter what the condition. So music is such a universal balm for all of us, and especially the songs of the holidays, and of course praying with them. Most people with dementia have strong ties to their religion, and that doesn't change or shift. In fact, only increases sometimes with deep memories of religious significance to them, especially during the holidays. They carry on a family tradition. All families have something special they do around Christmas, and of course, most go to church, but what about after that? Maybe you went to Aunt Mary's. Aunt Mary may no longer be around, but you can recreate the atmosphere that was there and invite one or two understanding friends to help you with this. The memories of visiting Aunt Mary will be there. And that has to be related then to talking about past experiences on Christmas or other holidays. You can discuss what happened at Aunt Mary's, regale in a story about a funny experience that took place at Aunt Mary's. But don't ask that big question, right, Laura? Do you remember?
No.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, you're making them think, aren't you? And they have a broken thinker. So
right. You're putting the pressure on for an answer.
That's right. You will make them anxious. Absolutely.
So much so. But rather, just tell the story. Let your loved one with dementia add their own comments or thoughts, and they will come up because you've sort of led the way. And it's, oh, yes, and, you know, Aunt Mary used to make the prettiest garland. And then it's like, trigger your memory. I hadn't forgotten, but they accessed the memory. It came in a flash from that file cabinet of the mind that they draw upon. And because sometimes we're so busy in the present, we forget the past, but they do not. Tell a story, let your loved one with dementia add their comments, and talk about family members, both past and present. You might say, when Uncle Harry shook the table, he made us all laugh. Tell some jokes and laugh some more. Laughter is, as I've said so often, and we all agree, it's the best medicine, isn't it?
It's
so much so. Yeah. Yeah. So there's many more we can add. I wanted to reach out with an interesting news story. This was just came out. And you may not have heard this, Laura, but this is interesting on dementia in particular. Researchers have identified the first brain training exercise that positively linked to dementia prevention. First time ever. This is from Indiana University. The aging research specialists have identified for the first time a form of mental exercise can at least reduce the risk of dementia. The cognitive training called speed of processing, I've never heard of this, I don't know if you have, they've showed benefits up to 10 years after the study participants underwent the mental exercise program at Indiana University School of Medicine. And the proportion of participants who underwent the training and later developed dementia was significantly smaller than among those who received no cognitive training at all. And there were measurable benefits, even though the amount of training was small and spread out over time. 10 one-hour sessions over 6 weeks initially, and up to 8 booster sessions after that. And the results from the Advanced Cognitive Training in Vital Elderly, they call it ACTIV, they worked with over 2,800. So it's not a small sample, 2,800 older adults. They were recently reported in Alzheimer's and Dementia Translational Research and Clinical Interventions. Whew, that's a big mouth. A peer-reviewed journal of the Alzheimer's Association. So the participants received instructions and practiced in strategies to improve memory of life events and activities, just like what we're talking about. Participants who received instruction and practiced in strategies, there's that word, to help with problem solving and related issues. They received computer-based speed of processing exercises. They're designed to increase the amount and complexity of information they could process quickly, which we know the cognitive aspect is one thing that frustrates people. It's like you said, they got a broken thinker, right?
Yeah.
And a control group whose members did not participate in any of the cognitive training, and they did those sessions, and they came back and did the research, and pretty interesting. And after attrition due to passing and other factors, 1,200 participants completed the 10-year follow-up assessment. And during that time, 260 participants developed dementia. The risk of developing dementia was 29% lower for participants in speed processing training for those who were in the control group. That is a pretty significant number. I had never heard of that before. Laura, had you any awareness of that kind of cognitive training for prevention of entering deeper dementia?
If you send me that link, Scott, what I'll do is I'll send that out in my Facebook and do some more follow-up study, maybe even put that link on the website, because anything this encouraging is certainly something to look into and to share. You know, this is one of the biggest fears of those over the age of 70, because they have this huge risk of getting some cause of dementia. 50% of those over the age of 70 have this risk. And of course, every single person that I talk to, rightfully so, has this great fear of having one of these causes, which are, it's so horrific and such a silent pandemic that we all need to look for this hope, and this is extremely encouraging. So thank you for sharing that with me, Scott, and I will get that information out so that our listeners can follow up and do some more looking into this. Thanks for sharing that. That's just wonderful.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
I will send that your way, and that's our news and some insights for this holiday season. It's barreling in on us. 2018's around the corner now, isn't it?
It certainly is, Scott. And so thanks for sharing that that information related to aging and help us to have an active and positive aging experience. We certainly want to talk about that. Now, let's move on, Scott, before we go to a break in about 10 minutes. Let's move on and spend a little bit of time with our guest today and invite her to share her views about her journey of dementia. You know, the show today is for anyone who's caring for a person with any cause of dementia, professional caregivers, family caregivers. So we want to help them survive the upcoming, what I call the holidays, D-A-Z-E. So if you could take a minute, Scott, and introduce our guest today. She's such a dear friend, and I am so excited to have her.
And it's great to say hello and welcome to Judy, is it Greenan? Judy, am I pronouncing
Greenan.
It properly?
Greenan.
Wouldn't you know? Well, that's why I used to have a show called Positively Incorrect. I couldn't get my own name right. Judy Greenan is our guest today, a dear friend of Laura's, I won't forget that, past and present caregiver and one of her personal heroes, and she is the perfect person to share her dementia journey. Specifically to the many years she cared for her husband, who had Parkinson's disease. We're dealing with that in our own family right now, Judy, my lovely wife, Faye's dad. And today, Judy will be sharing how the holiday traditions had to change as the disease progressed and how her grief progressed, too, right up to those years' special holiday transition. I'm sure I can relate to that. So, Judy, welcome to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me to participate. Are you ready for me to start?
Absolutely, Judy. We are so ready for you. First, I want to clarify, Judy's husband did have Parkinson's, but he also had Alzheimer's, which is common to have a dual diagnosis like that.
Yes.
And so, Judy, if you want to just start with that, and then we're going to kind of guide you specifically with the changes in holiday, but I think the listeners would love to hear your story from the beginning. So however you would like to start and share, you are the person we want to focus on hearing right now. So go ahead.
Okay, well, my husband was diagnosed in January of 2012 with Alzheimer's. And it ended up being a five-year journey. It was fairly simple at first. The decline was very slow, but then it started picking up the pace. And about a little over a year ago, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's also, which really made it difficult, but it answered a lot of questions for me as to the way he was reacting. We went through periods, both of us, of disbelief. You know, he would have good days where he's seeing so on with everything, and I thought, oh, the doctor misdiagnosed him. And then the next day he could be a totally different person. I kind of called it the Forrest Gump approach, where life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, and that's the way my life started becoming. I was challenged to keep him busy because he had always been an extremely active person. He wasn't one to sit in a chair and watch TV, so I had to with different things for him to keep him occupied. One of the things he wanted to do was to build his model railroad. He had waited 40 years to build his model railroad. And what a time to decide to do this. But, well, I gave up my living room, and we transformed it into a model railroad. He had been building all the little buildings for it for 40 years. And
wow.
So we started planning it out, and we got a friend of his that really knew how to put together the track work and all, because this was way beyond Bill's capacity at that point. So he helped us to build it. I got involved quite a bit because it did seem to make him happy. His standards, he had always been a perfectionist, and his standards had really slipped, and that was one of the things I had a tough time dealing with. But I learned to just, hey, you just have to let it go and go with the flow, so to speak. Another one of the challenges I faced was having his driver's license taken away from him. There's no way that you're going to take a vehicle or the ability to drive a vehicle away from a man. And so I sought some help with this, and I talked to his doctor, and his doctor ended up writing a letter to DMV, and so it took the burden off of me so that when his driver's license was suspended, he couldn't blame me for it.
I love it. Judy, I love it when you talk about how you were afraid when you opened that letter and you were going to tell him, but how gracious, because of the way you presented it, how gracious he actually took that, which was really a blessing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. His first initial reaction was, okay, I'm going to fight this. And I just, did not say anything. And after he got through ranting and raving, I never heard about him fighting it ever again.
Sure.
So that passed.
You just let him feel what he was going to feel about that. Just supported
exactly.
That, Yeah, you talk to his feelings like we talk about all the time because the feelings and emotions remain. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Good so, job. And it was very tough keeping him occupied when he wasn't doing railroad activities. He did like music and he loved to read books, but as his disease progressed, he could no longer read. He couldn't write. So I did get books on tape for him to listen to. And he really enjoyed that. I know one day he had a caregiver here to give me a little bit of a rest. And he spent 5 hours listening to a book. I could not believe it. He didn't fall asleep or anything. He was just enthralled. And then he actually wanted to talk to me a little bit about it after the book was over. And I was amazed at how much he remembered about the book. It was amazing. It was one of those days when he was just really on, is what I'd call it.
That's such a nice idea about activities for somebody with dementia, because often they can't read like they did before. That written word becomes very difficult for them to process, but they can listen to you or someone else tell the story, especially if you allow them to listen to a little bit and then perhaps have a discussion like you talked about. And it was just really a blessing that particular activity came into your life at that time. But I encourage caregivers to really look at different ideas, because everybody presents this loss of normal brain function differently. So we have to be creative and we have to really work hard at finding what their abilities still are there and stimulate those and be with them in that particular area of their brain that's still working, that part of their thinker that's still okay, and then learn to think for them when we come across the portion of their brain that they are no longer able to access.
Yes, and one of the best things I ever did was for Christmas the very first year when it came out, I got him the Amazon Echo. And Alexa could tell him the weather. He always wanted to know the weather. He could listen to some of his favorite radio stations over Alexa. Didn't have to worry about pushing buttons. He just asked her, And she also read books to him, and he could listen to whatever kind of music he wanted to listen to. So that was...
What a great idea for a Christmas present. Okay, all of you caregivers who are listening right now, and they were saying, what am I going to get my loved one for Christmas? It is the Amazon Echo. Alexa is amazing. We have an Alexa here, and I ask her all kinds of questions, but what a great idea. She can help think for them. That is just, that is the very first check in our list of things we're going to talk about today with sharing the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas. We're going to talk about how you can feel empowered as a caregiver to have a little different approach as your loved one loses more and more of their cognitive ability. So right now, it is time for us to take our mid-show break. And when we come back, Judy, we're going to talk some more about how you saw not just these changes overall, but the kinds of changes you had to learn to make with holiday traditions and scaling back and making it a little bit easier for Bill to really love the holidays in a different way as this horrible dementia just kept trudging on. And then we're going to talk about how this season is different. So we want our listeners to really hang in there. It is just such a brave thing for Judy to do, to share this with everybody. And you are also welcome to call in and ask questions or share your journey. So, Scott, if you could take us into the break, and then when we come back, we've got lots more for our listening audience to share with us.
Absolutely. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. And, yes, we do invite you, if you'd like to call live with a question or comment, or you can go on the chat box and enter it, we'd be happy to get a copy of Laura's very first really best-selling book from Johns Hopkins University. Your second edition is out now. But, yeah, you receive that absolutely free for giving a call, our holiday gift to you. And our guest call-in line is always the same, 929-477-1393. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Live with the Dementia Whisperer. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthy, and it's great to have our special guest today joining us, Judy Greenan, and sharing her voyage of dementia as well as Parkinson's disease. And Laura, sharing some significant moments with Judy, and I know you have more to share with our listeners today on the holiday season as well.
Thank you, Scott. And Judy's going to be continuing to share her journey. Her journey was long, relatively long, but if we compare it to some other folks' journey, Judy's was basically about 5 years long, although we do know that even before the dementia symptoms begin to show, often there's much going on in that person's brain, often 8 to 10 years before we even seek a diagnosis. But, you know, Judy's journey, it can feel a lot longer, and it can also be a lot longer. So what I want to do is pick up kind of where we left off. We got really excited when we were talking about a great gift idea for the holidays is Amazon Echo. Someone with dementia can basically talk to the Echo and ask for music, ask for answers to simple questions. So there can be a lot of interaction with technology, which is wonderful with someone who has dementia because they don't have to learn which buttons to push or which information they need, data information they need to put in. So it makes a wonderful, wonderful gift, kind of a friend, like Scott was talking about. He has a loved one who calls the Amazon Echo Alexa their friend. So that was a great idea for a gift. But what I want to do now is go back to Judy's journey. She's kind of explained to us a little bit, kind of an overview of what went on with her lovely, lovely husband. But Judy, let's talk about specific to the changes that you had to start making for the holidays. What kinds of traditions did you have to change because it was just too much for him to process?
Yeah, well, starting with Thanksgiving, I had to really slow down on tasks that I gave him to do, and one of those was cleaning. He'd love to clean the floor and all, but I quickly discovered that the floor looked worse after he was done. And if he went and laid down and took a nap, then I would quickly fix it. But it was making my work double. So, and then he loved to carve the turkey. Well, that scared the living daylights out of me, him handling a knife. So, actually, 1 year I just bought a turkey. Everything was already done and sliced, and it was just so much easier. I just took a deep breath and said, okay, that was a good thing to do. Now, for Christmas, he knew that Christmas was my absolute favorite time of the year, and I would always transform the house. And I just really got involved with Christmas. Well, it got a little tougher to do that because I had to and certainly wanted to spend more time with Bill. We always invited people for Christmas Eve, particularly people that didn't have other family around. But that got to be a little bit difficult because he would get confused as to what we were talking about because these people were not familiar to him. As far as shopping, he was a fella that is not any different, I don't think, from most guys. He didn't like to shop. However, he knew
at I'll
Christmas
vote for that.
He had to go shopping. You know? And
right.
when he could no longer drive or go to the store by himself, I had a good friend who took him out Christmas shopping. I would provide them with a list. I didn't expect everything on the list, you know, leave some room for surprises, and just a long list and where they could find it, and all, and she would take him and help him to pick things out, and when they got back, she would help him wrap everything. He tried to wrap everything himself, and he was just getting frustrated, and I just whispered to her, I said, I volunteered you to help him wrap, and he said no. And so I said, how about give him a few minutes, and then you go in to the room where he's trying to wrap and just, you know, start doing some wrapping, helping him. And thank goodness that worked really good.
Because really what you were doing, Judy, is you were thinking for him, because anytime we ask them a question, do you want some help, that immediately they get defensive because they have to come up with the right reply, and it certainly probably sounds weak to them if they say, yes, I need help. And so
yes. They'll
immediately say no. And so we just have to come alongside them and just do what I call positive action, and we just start helping just like it's the most normal thing in the world. So they don't have to – it's all about how we make them feel, so that then they're not feeling this feeling of failure or helplessness. We help them to feel accomplishment.
Yes. Well, I know I saw a decline every year, but last year I really – was aware of how severe the decline was. Now, every year I had made fudge. He always wanted me to market it. He said it was that good. anyway, and I prided myself on making a different flavor every year. So I got up to where I was making 15 flavors a year and then giving most of it away. And he was my number one taster. And he loved that, because I'd hand in the bowl after I'd spread everything out, and I left a little bit in the bowl. And so he got to taste it and tell me what he thought of it and all. And he always had the biggest smile on his face when he was, you know, scraping the bowl to get the very last bit.
Well, I guess so. He's eating fudge.
Yeah. I'd be smiling, too.
And every time I came up with a new flavor, he'd tell me that was his favorite. So I never really knew exactly what was his favorite. He liked them all.
You were his favorite, my dear.
Yeah. But last year I just couldn't make the fudge. He was just getting too clumsy. I was worried about him dropping the bowl, and I didn't want him to be embarrassed about that. I had to switch everything to plastic, because having a tile floor, that was not forgiving to any glassware that might fall.
Yeah.
Right.
He loved to play the harmonica. And he has several harmonicas in different keys, except that it was a challenge to find any of them. So for Christmas last year, I bought him a new one so that he could play. And he actually surprised me that he could, you know, play some Christmas songs on his harmonica. It just floored me, you know. And for me, that was one of my best moments to remember, when he picked that up and just started playing like he had never stopped.
Oh,
it was amazing.
That's so precious. That's
amazing.
A precious memory,
amazing.
Judy.
Oh, it was great. And he loved to listen to all the Christmas music. He loved Mannheim Steamroller.
That
was his absolute favorite. And that was one group that, boy, turn it up as loud as it will go. And then he learned that Alexa could play that for him, except that he couldn't ask for it anymore. But I knew pretty much what he, you know, liked, so I would make sure that she was playing the music that he liked the best.
Oh, yeah. And as I listen to you, Judy, I just listen to this grief unfolding year after year in so many different ways. And so I want to just really take this last little bit of time that we have to talk about the kind of the punchline to all of this, because this year is a very different year. This is a different transition because so much more loss has happened. Do you want to share with our audience what is going on this year?
It's been really tough this year. Certain things that I get out, like when I set up the tree, he would always be involved in setting up the tree. So I vowed that I was going to do things a little bit differently this year. So he would always elevate the tree because we had a real high ceiling. And this year I decided, well, I was going to get it down to my level because I didn't like standing on ladders to get to the top there. And, he would put the tree up on a wooden platter that he used to use for water skiing and put three paint cans under it to keep it steady. But this year I didn't do that.
That sounds like guy work right there. That sounds like a guy deal.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yes.
Paint can, you know, whatever was handy. He wouldn't go out and buy something special for it, you know. But
fancy.
We knew it was the paint cans, and they got rustier and rustier every year.
And share with our listeners the fact that he was a professional water skier.
Yes, he used to, he started out, that's how we met, was water skiing. And we water skied for 35, 36 years before we finally had to give it up. And one of the main reasons we gave it up is that none of our friends could do it anymore, even though we could. You have to have people that are willing to go with you.
Absolutely.
Know? You have to have a spotter in the boat. You know?
Yeah.
And I must admit, you know, early on he came up with solutions for that once in a while when we really wanted to go out early in the morning when the water was like glass. And so we would stack up a whole bunch of life vests and put a hat on top of it. And from a distance, it looked like we had a spotter in the boat.
Really?
This is being being recorded, Judy.
I
think, you know, we're beyond where we could be in trouble for that.
Okay. That's funny.
Scarecrow spotter. That's right.
Yes. Yeah, it worked fine.
Wow.
We were very, very careful. And I had, in the boat, there was a rear-view mirror, just like in your car and all, so I could see what was going on all the time. And,
of course.
And when we were out so early in the morning, sometimes we were the only ones out there, so I wasn't too concerned.
Sure. So how did all of these changes affect your family? So share with our listeners the other challenges that you have, because you are not just a caregiver to your husband at this point. You also are a caregiver to another person in your family. And now, this season, you both are going through this absolute extreme grief in the fact that it's just the two of you now since your husband has passed. So
yes.
How did all of these changes affect the other parts of your family?
Well, my son Eric is 42 years old, and he was born prematurely, and he suffers from cerebral palsy. He's been in a wheelchair all of his life. However, his daddy never treated him like he was any different from the rest of us, and Bill would make adaptations of things for Eric. As a matter of fact, Eric, at 2 years of age, was riding on Bill's shoulder in back of the boat when he was skiing on a wooden platter.
artist.
Wow.
So he was just so involved in Eric's life and adored Eric. And Eric adored him because Daddy built special things for him in his room.
Sure.
So that he could have access to things. And it's been very difficult. Last year I just kind of knew it was going to be our last Christmas, even though in my heart I didn't want to believe it. But I made it a real big Christmas, as big as I could. And it's been tough this year. Eric really, really misses his dad.
And this is why I keep saying to everyone, Judy is my hero. I mean, she has just really worked hard to take this true life lemon and make so much lemonade out of it. She thinks ahead. She's always considerate of everyone else's feelings. And during the whole time that she was caring for her wonderful, beloved husband, she was giving so much to him. And I see this in caregivers, and she's just this extreme example. And now she's having to learn how to be that person that is not a caregiver for him anymore. And that's hard, isn't it, Judy?
Yeah, well, it's like I lost my identity when Bill died, you know, because the last 5 years I spent caring for him. And now, you know, I've been caring for my son for 42 years. But, and actually it was easier caring for my son than it was for Bill for the 5 years. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. I know how much he loved me, and I loved him.
And it's so obvious how much you loved him.
I hear that, yeah. Judy, I actually, and Laura never met my late wife, Faye, Emily. She, whoops. My current wife is Faye, wonderful woman. But my late wife, Emily, we spent 22 years together. But 12 of those dancing with breast cancer.
Hmm.
And she passed in 2000. And I have two grown children, but at the time, one was graduating from high school, the other was getting married the same week that their mom was passing. And
wow.
Yeah, and so it was really difficult to say the least. I had the entire family on her side seem to suddenly forget that my phone number. It was a very hard Christmas, a very lonely time for 7 or 8 months. And, of course, recrimination, your children don't understand. They really mm-hmm. don't sometimes what happened or what you're doing or why you're doing what you're doing. And it's not like I understood everything that was going on within me. You know, I never had somebody pass away in my arms before.
Mm-hmm.
But I can really empathize with your journey right now, Judy, and I want you to know that it gets better and better because of the commitment. That's the thing that's always held me together, is the commitment of your relationship to now your late husband and the love and the threads and the bonds you built together all those years. And that's what's so rewarding. And yeah, there's a few Christmas ornaments I put on the tree that I don't talk about with my current wife, but I know what they are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I hadn't put ornaments on the tree for the past few years because I was worried about breakage. But this year I did add some ornaments back on, and one of them was his prized train.
Uh-huh.
He had a little train ornament
that
he loved.
That.
And that was special, hanging that up.
Sure was, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So this holiday season is really different for you, Judy, but once again, you are just truly my hero. You are doing such a good job. She She actually shared a holiday tradition with Steve and I, and we met her at a local nursery here that has it's a huge nursery, and they have a tree lighting ceremony that Steve and I had never been to, and Judy asked us to come, and Eric was there, and Steve and Eric just had a great time, and we got to see that tree lighting and share that special tradition with her that the last one she got to share with Bill was last year. So what an honor. That was just so special for us.
Beautiful thing, yes.
Yes.
Beautiful thing.
Absolutely. So this one's different. So how does this feel, Judy? What kinds of feelings can you share with us? And how is it changing the holidays for your whole family?
Well, of course, my daughter lives 3,000 miles away. She lives in Florida, and so we haven't been used to spending a lot of holidays together, but I know that she misses talking to her daddy on the phone. She was daddy's girl, and she's had a tough time coping with this.
Of course.
I do pretty good until Eric breaks down. And
yeah, that's
a lot
on your shoulders, hon. That's a lot.
I'm sorry.
This is a good place,
right.
Soft place to land. We're here for you.
Yeah, we know all
that. Yeah,
about
well,
it.
I was telling him it's okay to. I said you have to let it go. I said give in to it, and then you're going to feel a little better. And he's discovering that. You know, I can tell right away, and he needs to talk about it. So we talk about it. And then I always try and give him something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I must say, some of our friends have really rallied and made sure that we're staying busy and we get invitations to go here or there. And so we have Christmas Eve taken care of, thanks to Laura.
Yes,
and
they're coming over here. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. I want to cook in your kitchen.
I know. I do have a beautiful kitchen, and I'm so happy to share it with you. We're going to have a really good time, and Eric and Steve are just going to be best of buds. I know they're really – Eric – Steve so enjoys Eric being with Eric, and I know Eric's going to enjoy the same thing. So we're going to develop a new Christmas tradition where they come to my house and I share my beautiful home with them. So I'm very excited. We're gonna make lasagna. So I'm gonna make everybody hungry. But Scott, don't you wish you could be
yummy.
Here with us? I know
it. Lasagna.
Yeah.
So Judy, would you share with any listeners about staying active, about staying participating in life? Because, you know, I've run into people because my lovely wife Faye and I do a lot of work with seniors every single day. We actually are putting in phones for seniors all over Houston all the time because they're captioned phones, and they help those who can't hear to hear and see. And you do run into, seniors who've shut themselves off or disconnected from the world, and to connect them to the world again is a great thing, but we do need to make an effort to do that, don't we? We need to reach out and not shut our lives off. That's not really honoring our loved ones to shut down, is it?
Yeah, well, I know Bill would not want me to shut down, and I just know my mission in life is to help other people.
Yes.
And beautiful. I'm not going to play the woe is me role.
Good for you.
That's not you, that's for sure. And she's Judy's helping me with some other projects, some events that are coming up. So she's going to be right there helping me. She is she once again is my hero, and I'm happy to share her. So
beautiful.
Judy,
that's
thank
great,
you
Laura.
So much. Thank you so
You're
much
welcome,
for being
and
here
thank
today.
You for this. It was great.
Oh, I'm so glad. So hang in there for a minute. I'm going to give 10 real quick holiday tips for family caregivers. So number one, recognize your signs of stress and burnout. Number two, anticipate your holiday hot button moments. Number three, acknowledge your feelings, good and bad. Number four, put self-care back on your list, and Judy's doing a great job with that. Number five, find a healthy stress relief outlet. Number six, get support. Number seven, do mindful planning. Number eight, ask for help. Number nine, keep your holidays simple. And number 10, start new traditions. And I have to say, Judy's just checking those off one by one, doing a great job, and I am learning from her as well. So thank you for joining us today. We recognize it takes courage to reach up for help. And if you could lead us out, Scott, thank you for being here. And once again, a great show.
Judy, Merry, Merry Christmas to you, my dear.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
And Laura, the same to you and Stephen, and to all of our listeners out there, happy holidays from the Dementia Whisperer. Join us in the new year, everyone.
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com. And join the Dementia Whisperers newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com. And join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthie, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.